This is the Lou Rockwell Show.
Dr. Tom DiLorenzo is professor of economics at Loyola College in Baltimore, Maryland. He's the author or the co-author of 13 books and has done amazing work in a whole bunch of areas. But today I want to talk about what he's done to Abe Lincoln, Dishonest Abe, as he's known in these precincts. I sometimes think that this is the model for libertarian scholars. Here Tom has taken on the Lincoln cult, this massive, almost religious devotion to Lincoln as the founder of the current American Republic and of the current regime, taken a president about whom lies are taught in university classrooms and high school classrooms, grammar school classrooms, and overturned it all. My guess is that anytime a professor or a teacher is giving out the Lincoln myths today, he has to be concerned that at least one of the kids in his classes has read one of Tom DiLorenzo's books on Lincoln, either The Real Lincoln or Lincoln Unmasked, and knows that he's being told baloney and asked very difficult questions. So Tom, tell us, I mean, how did you do this? How did you overturn the whole Lincoln religion with these two books? Is really quite extraordinary.
Well, a lot of what I was taught and what you were taught and most Americans are taught about Lincoln is what one writer calls comic book history, and a lot of it does seem just comical. It's, you know, the hero on the white horse comes in and saves America, and I was taught that Lincoln died on Good Friday, which he did, and he saved America, redeemed America for its sins, just as Jesus Christ redeemed the world for its sins. And this all sounded blasphemous and just frankly a bunch of baloney to me for my whole life. And I came to the conclusion many years ago that Lincoln really is the symbol of the American empire. And the whole Lincoln myth, the comic book history of Lincoln, is really the cornerstone, the ideological cornerstone of the American empire. And so that's what got me interested in researching this. And I thought also, historians, of course, dominate, it's history after all. But they do write a lot about economic issues, and they write about these issues without really knowing much about economics. And so I thought I had a niche there to go in and take a look at some of these historical issues, especially regarding Lincoln, and look at it from the eye not only of an economist, but from a libertarian economist and someone who knows a little something about political economy, not just economic theory per se. And that's how I ended up writing these books about Lincoln. And of course, all anyone has to do is read his first inaugural address, where he pledges his support for a constitutional amendment that had passed the House and the Senate already that would have forbidden the federal government from ever interfering in slavery. So on the day he was inaugurated, he was willing to see slavery exist in the southern states, you know, long past his own lifetime. But in that same speech, he threatened an invasion of any state that failed to collect the new tariff tax, which had just been doubled by the Republican Party in Washington, D.C. And so I think any economist with an interest in this would have seen red flags everywhere just reading his first inaugural address, and it would have told him, well, the standard story that I've been told sounds fishy.
This is the reason why, of course, we're never, ever told to read the first inaugural address. We only know about the second inaugural address and the better angels of our nature and all the rest of the stuff.
Right, the second inaugural address, he blames the whole bloody mess on God. He said God was punishing America for the sin of slavery, North and South, and so he absolved himself. He said the war came as though he had nothing to do with it. He was just sitting in his office one day and looked out the window, and holy smokes, there's a war going on. And so that's how I look at the second inaugural. But of course, the people who I lovingly call the court historians in the history profession see this as sort of the deification of America. It was Abe Lincoln himself was deified after his death, and as our friend Clyde Wilson has written, that really led to the deification of the presidency in general, and that led to this idea of American exceptionalism, or whatever we do, whatever our government does is moral because it's our government, it's the U.S. government, it's deified on the soul of Abraham Lincoln. Even bombing innocent civilians in foreign countries is okay because, after all, it's we who are doing it. And that's how I see the second inaugural as an evil part of American political rhetoric.
Tom, part of the myth is that Lincoln was especially dedicated to the Constitution and to the Declaration of Independence and to the Republic of the Founders, but wasn't he actually a dictator who, in effect, abolished the original American Republic?
Yes, he did. Generations of historians called him a dictator, but being court historians, for the most part, they say, well, he was a benevolent dictator. And I have yet to find the part of the U.S. Constitution that permits a benevolent dictator. Maybe some of the listeners out there can email me and tell me which part of the Constitution that is in. But of course, he initiated a war without the consent of Congress. He suspended habeas corpus illegally. Only Congress can do that. Not that that's a good idea, allowing Congress to do that, but that's what's in the Constitution. He imprisoned over probably as much as 30,000 Northern civilians who were political opponents. He imprisoned and deported a member of Congress who was an outspoken Democrat. He confiscated firearms in the border states in violation of the Second Amendment, shut down hundreds of opposition newspapers, rigged the Northern elections by having soldiers intimidate the Democratic voters. And it was really a Stalinist regime when you look at all these facts of what he did. And it's just an outrage that you have scholars like Harry Jaffa, for example. I guess I shouldn't call him a scholar, but writers like Harry Jaffa insisting that he never did anything that was unconstitutional. Jaffa said that in a debate with me several years ago. And to my surprise, the crowd of a couple hundred people just laughed their heads off when he said that.
Wasn't he, despite, of course, he's the great emancipator, he's the man who freed the slaves, he ended this horrendous institution. But wasn't he really what we would call today a white supremacist?
Yeah, that's true. I just did an interview with a PBS film crew for a special with Professor Henry Louis Gates. And he had just come from interviewing Lerone Bennett Jr., who was the former editor of Ebony Magazine, who wrote a book called Forced into Glory, Abraham Lincoln's White Dream. And this man, his books are much more critical of Lincoln than mine. And he, and being an African American, he's outraged that this white supremacist has become such a hero to the black people in America. And he thinks the real abolitionists should have that place, not Abraham Lincoln. For example, Lincoln had somewhat of a fetish for what was called colonization or deporting black people out of America. He was a member of the Illinois Colonization Society, one of the 11 managers of it, who wanted to colonize, so to speak, the small number of free blacks who lived in Illinois out of the state. As president, he actually allocated funds to colonizing a number of black people in Liberia, in Africa. He advocated sending them to Africa, Haiti, Central America, Panama, anywhere but here. And even in Lincoln's speeches, where he talks eloquently about equality, he would always have, not always, but in most of his speeches, he would have a qualifier in there. He would say things like, in their native clime. And what he meant was that black people could not be equal here, but if they were back in their native clime, that is Africa, that's where they can be equal. But they can never be equal to whites. In the Lincoln-Douglas debates, he just unequivocally stated that he did not believe in social or political equality of the races. And so, and very few Americans ever taught this. The scholars all know about this, but very few people, especially people who go to public schools, or ever run across this information.
Tom, is there any historical figure about whom there are more phony quotes? I mean, a lot of stuff is ascribed to him to make him look great, when, of course, he never said these things at all.
Yes, in my second book, Lincoln Unmasked, I have a short chapter entitled Fake Lincoln Quotes, and there are quite a many, quite a many of them. Even the old saying that you can fool some of the people some of the time, and you know how that goes. He never said that. There was these scholars at Oxford University who had a team of researchers, which I assume probably included a lot of PhD students. That's how it works, and they dug through every written record of everything Lincoln ever said, and they found a lot of the quotes regarding. There's one quote I can paraphrase that he says, if America is ever destroyed, it will be destroyed from within. That's regarding the secession movement. He never said that and never said any such thing. And there are all these quotes about how he hated slavery, and if he ever gets a chance to do something about it, he'll hit it hard. Never said that. And so there's a long line of these Lincoln quotes that Americans are taught in elementary school, beginning in elementary school, that are fake.
I want to highly recommend these two books of Tom DiLorenzo's, The Real Lincoln and Lincoln Unmasked. Take a look at his archive at lourockwell.com. A lot of wonderful articles there. They very much repay reading. And if you look down at the bottom of each one of his articles, the books are listed there, and you can click on those links and order them. These books are very well written, very compellingly written. They overturn the whole official story of Lincoln, and you'll never look at a penny again in the same way after you read Tom DiLorenzo. Tom, thanks very, very much.
My pleasure, Lou.
You've been listening to The Lou Rockwell Show. Produced by LouRockwell.com, the best-read libertarian website in the world. If you'd like to advertise on this podcast or on the website, email advertise@LouRockwell.com. And thanks for listening.